My name's Adele Onyango, and welcome to another episode of Legally Clueless. No, seriously, I have no clue what I'm doing, but I'm pretty sure I'm not the only one.
Hey, you. Yes, I know. This is different. This is new. This is not a mistake. What's really happened is we figured a week is a long time to wait until we chat with you. And perhaps we can throw some inspiration your way to get you through the week and share what's coming your way on Monday. And what we're calling this is the Midweek Tease. If you like it, let me know in the comment section of whatever directory you're listening to this on. Should we keep this going or nah? But what the Midweek Tease is going to have is two things. One, a very healthy snippet of the story or conversation that's going to be in the Monday episode that's coming up. That's one. And the second thing is a thought that I share with you to kind of help you get through the week. Because we all need a little gas in the inspiration tank, isn't it? Because sometimes the weeks can be hectic. Actually, mine has just taken a weird turn. I've gotten one of those work emails that I'm like, what is going on here? What is going on here? So anyway, let's jump into those two things. And we're going to start with a thought. And it came to me when a couple of days ago, it dawned on me that you do not have to validate your existence. You know, you don't deserve to be here because you work hard or because you own this or that. You, as you are magic. You are answered prayers. And just by being, you deserve to be here. It's as simple as that, especially in this day and age of social media. On Monday, I happened to be on my LinkedIn. I was on a panel and the head of the company that had contracted me to be on the panel had sent me a message. I am hardly ever on my LinkedIn. I feel like I check it maybe once every 3 to 6 months, but LinkedIn sends me emails. So-and-so wants to connect. 97 people have searched you. I'm just like, it's enough. I'm not coming. I'm not boarding. Okay, leave me alone. But I happened to be on my LinkedIn to reply to this message. And I kind of just saw the tone that people write in on LinkedIn is weird. I get it. I get that it's a platform. You put your best foot forward because you're trying to get a job or market yourself career-wise. But it just makes everybody's tone so unrealistic. Oh my goodness, so unrealistic. And it really got me thinking, it's so hard to find genuine people on social media, all platforms, not just LinkedIn, right? I feel like people are peer pressured into presenting a socially accepted version of themselves or what they think is a socially accepted version of themselves. So super edited pictures. There's the people who are constantly showing how busy they are, team always on the grind. People are constantly showing their material stuff, only wins, which is okay because ultimately you decide what you want to share, right? But on the side of the audience, you and I who are consuming all of this, what can happen is you may end up feeling unworthy because constantly consuming this type of imagery makes you think that if you don't have the perfect body, the clothes, the car, the home, the job, the wins, if you're not constantly grinding and quote-unquote working hard, then you don't deserve to be here. And so you end up thinking that you earn or validate your existence the more you acquire, whether it's legit or in weird ways, the more you acquire these things. And so I just wanted to remind you that you do not need to validate your existence. Just by you being, that is more than enough. And you don't have to dress yourself up in a certain way to be accepted or to put on the perception that you can be socially accepted. Does that make sense? You just being is enough and your existence is valid enough in that. I hope that makes sense. All right, second thing, counting down to Monday, we'll have a brilliant, inspiring story by James Kimani coming your way in episode 271. And it's about an accident that changed his life. So as we count down to it, here's a very healthy snippet of the story and you'll catch it on Monday. Until then, I hope you make it to the very end of the week and I'll catch you on Monday.
100 African stories on Legally Clueless. Stories from Africa.
My name is James Kimani. I'm a born-again Christian, I thank God. I come from a background of from a family of, actually, we were seven, and then our last born passed on. Before I was born, we also lost another James now before me. So now we are remaining with five. And I was born and raised in Kahawa Barracks, actually. Then we lived in Kahawa in Dani. My father was a soldier back then. All our adventures we did, and not just in the barracks, but outside this place called Kahawa in Dani. All the way to Kawaskari is the place where we used to go for adventures. I enjoyed my childhood. We really did some very, very natural adventures, like hunting. We used to go hunting with dogs. And all Kawaskari was a ranch. And we used to have nice hunting dogs. And we could eat game meat. You could imagine, sometimes we could come and then some elderly people could just take the meat from us and give us something small because we were young boys. We also enjoyed making cars. We had passion for cars. We used to make cars with wires. And there's some of us they were gifted in that. We used to take them wire. And they make a very nice matter too, you can imagine. And sometimes we used to take tins, and we really enjoyed cars. I really didn't have the time to grow up with my siblings properly because my sister that I'm to follow, there's a 14-year difference. So you can imagine now. So we didn't grow up together. My mom was a civil servant. She used to work in Joko House Ministry of Education. But she retired. She went to central part of Kenya to become a banana farmer. And so when I schooled there, my elementary school, and then my high school, I went to Eastern, the school called Nunguni High School. After that, Form 2, I came to a school in Thika called Equator High School. Used to call it School of Hard Knocks. After that, so I wanted to join the college. I wanted to do some food production. I always had also passion for cooking and all that. But in the meantime, as I was waiting for my intake in August, my sister now relocated from Germany. They came to settle in the coastal part of Kenya, Mombasa. They requested if I could go there. They wanted to start a transport business. They wanted to go there, me to go there and manage. So I decided to take the offer and decided now to move and go to Mombasa. So that is another whole new journey that began. Mombasa is another place altogether. So I gained a lot of experience in the transport business. I really had passion now for, they were doing matatus. So for the matatu to be competitive, you really had to apply so many things. Graffiti, music and all that. Used to also good drivers, the one that can really drive very fast because it's about making money. So the competition was stiff and I really loved that. And then after that, now the business did not go. Their company, they did not end up well. So they had differences and that. So they decided to close. And so I had to look for other options. And I said, now I'm not just going to be in the transport business. I think let me look for a decent job. That is where I got to join a cab company. There's a cab called Kencam. I went to Kencam. I went to Smart Cabs. I went to Universal Cabs. Because actually the Lord helped me to have a parking. In Mombasa, when you have a parking as a driver, I used to have a parking. There's a hotel called Royal Castle Hotel. So I benefited to have a parking. So it was easier for me to go to any company and say, hey, I know you have a company, but I'm sure you don't have a parking. So I'm a driver who wants a parking. So I was given a job very fast. So I advanced again from there. I joined tours and travel. So you find the Swiss tourists and the German tourists, they really made us really appreciate whatever we were doing. And so many other tourists, they came. And so it became a portion for me. So I really want now, when I saw that, because I really wanted to explore. I was young and I saw that this is an opportunity before I clock 30. I thought that I could go beyond this. So a friend of mine gave me a link. There were some jobs that were being hired in the overseas. He thought that I could apply because I really loved driving. Driving was a passion. I was among the first people that were privileged to do defensive driving. And so I could do 120 and you're sleeping, comfortably you're sleeping. When I hit a bump, you cannot know whether I've hit a bump. So I had to apply for the job. So I had to come to Nairobi for some, after applying, they told me I have to come for medical. And so I thought of how now I could leave Mombasa because now I've stayed there for over 10 years, 10, 11 years. And I saw that I needed a break. I said, hey, I'm born in Nairobi, raised in Nairobi, but I've never gotten a chance to work in Nairobi. I think it's the high time maybe I go. And also my mother wanted also me to come home because we didn't spend time together. After finishing high school, I just went for 10 years. He really wanted to see what kind of a man am I becoming. So I had to come. I had to leave everything. I found some friends of mine. They had, there's a circle called the Manchester Travelers. It was so new. So they had very nice cars. And I got an opportunity to have one of them and say, would you mind? They said, no, you know, driving was my passion. So I had an opportunity to have one of those new, they were so nice. You know, driving you enjoy. I'm telling you, you enjoy. And the first thing you do, you know, they don't have the speed governors. Even if they had for the Manchester, the first thing you're given, because you love driving, you cannot operate with a speed governor. I think it's very hard when you break the rules. You also suffer the consequences, because we used to go from town to Thika 30 minutes, 30 minutes at most. So we used to fly, and because the car were nice and good music and all that, and I used to really enjoy that. So in the meantime, as I was doing that, I was also making some cash, because I also needed money for traveling as well, and here and there. But I was doing as a passion. So I had filled all my documents, I've secured a good job, and the job that I was going also in the overseas in Dubai was a driving job, actually. I was to be a limousine driver, and I was being paid so well. And I was to live in a 7-star hotel, the same hotel. And so the contract was so good. So I was just getting ready. But now little did I know that whatever was awaiting for me now. Because the same driving job that I loved so much, I used to be a very fast driver. I was not careless, but I was very fast. As I was getting ready, as I was really preparing now to go, I remember now, I was not even now in Manchester. A friend of mine now requested me, because like I said, when you're a doctor, your friends are doctors. When you're a lawyer, most of your friends are lawyers. Yeah, your contemporaries and all that. So in my case now, so many of my friends were drivers from different routes. Now this driver was driving a car from a different circle, from Nairobi to Embu. The circle was called Kukena Circle. So he requested me that on a Sunday, I remember, it was on 28th September 2014. He requested me that because he knew I had the legal documents. Yes, I had the documents. He requested me whether I could afford now to have his car that day, because there were some women that had requested to be ferried from one point. There's a place in the central Kenya called Igikero. They wanted to be taken from Igikero to a place called Kabati. So they say, because tomorrow I have a private, would you mind coming over, pick my car? I will send my conductor, and you can just work together. You pick these women, they're church women, you take them from Igikero to Kabati, and then you do a few trips, and then in the evening, you go back for them. I said yes, because on that Sunday, I was not actually working. Little did I know now that was to be my fateful day, because when I went, the women were there, they prayed, we took them, and then we dropped them, and they said that you guys come back for us at around 4 or 5, we'll give you a call. And so the conductor said, we still have a long day, so you could do some few trips together. I say, why not? And the way I love driving, so we did Embu Thika. But they did like four to five trips, yes. I remember the fifth trip, when they were calling, we were coming from Embu, and they said, give me 45 minutes, I'll be there. So we took people very fast to Thika, and then we came back now for them. All this time that I was driving, the car didn't have any issues. But when we picked them, they were not late, they were not angry. As we were going back, it was about 6 p.m. now. It was about some minutes to 6, yes. Now as we are going back now to the destination where I had picked them from, a place called Igikero in the central part, yeah. So there's a place called Sabasaba. Sabasaba is a steep area. There is a market called Sabasaba, but the town is on a hill. So as we were coming there, I remember I accelerated very fast, because it was an uphill and then downhill. When I came now, it was a two-way traffic. When I came now, after finishing the hill, now going down the hill is when I realized now, when I tried to pump on the brakes, I realized that the brakes were not there. Actually, the brakes failed when I was at a speed. And remember, it was so unfortunate, because I was trying to imagine. Here at the driver's seat, I had a woman that was having an infant. And when I talk about an infant, is a baby less than 3 months that was breastfeeding. And then beside her, there were two girls, age 11 and 12. They were just there, helplessly. So when the car lost brakes, I was thinking, so many things were going in my mind, because we are at a speed, and the car had an excess of 19 women. So I was thinking, nobody knows whether the car has brakes or not. They are just laughing. They are just enjoying. I think they had a good service wherever they were. And now here I am. We are running at a speed, and the car has failed brakes. So just saying a silent prayer, say, oh Lord, have mercy upon us. We will not die.
That's it for this episode of Legally Clueless. You can share this podcast with your friends. You can keep it for yourself. I'm not judging. Just make sure you're here next week for the next episode.